This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Warning, the following program is not for the weak-hearted. Those who are closed-minded, or in general, you're scared to learn what's behind closed doors. Here at Sapphire's Airplay, I want you to pour the wine. Grab somebody that you want to hold on to, or better yet, get the vibrations stimulated through your body. Get ready for one hell of an orgasm in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up, all you sexy motherfuckers out there in Radio Land? It's your girl, Sapphire. Y'all, okay, first of all, there's a lot of new changes in the new year. Yes, we are in 2024. New year, new me, all that blase bullshit. Let's face it. Rules are meant to be broken. And I am breaking my own personal rule. Sapphire's Airplay is now going to be a video podcast. That means y'all can subscribe and see the lovely Sapphire and her lovely faces that I'm doing and all the things now and not just hearing me. It's gonna be great. The audience is going wild. With that said, though, blessing me with the first ever video podcast. I can't believe this even happened. Shout out to a very special person. You may have known them from Positively Positive and just all things of Sapphire's Airplay. She's been a guest. She connected me, Sarah, shout out to Sarah. She connected me with Mandy Mayhem. If you guys don't know who Mandy Mayhem is, I guess I could say, you know, lyricist, redefining what pussy popping is in hip hop. And a lot of people think that, you know, this woman was a fake. I will admit, somebody slid in my DM a video of yours, Mandy.
Okay.
And I thought it was a fake. I was like, who is this? Whose grandma is this?
What do you mean by fake? What do you mean by fake?
Okay.
Like AI?
No. It was just more like, because I'm like, hip hop to me is like, it's more than a movement. We just celebrated 50 years of hip hop in 2023. Very big occasion.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have done panels with Chuck D. I have been in rooms and spaces with Angela Davis. And hell, in college, I kind of got like a semi-degree in hip hop.
Stop it.
Yes. Shout out to you. Shout out to San Francisco State with their hip hop classes and stuff. But my emphasis is in radio, but I also got my second minor in Africana studies with an emphasis in hip hop history.
Love it.
So when people send me shit about hip hop, I'm very like, I don't want to say protective of the culture, but I was just more like, okay, y'all, what do you want me to say other than the fact that I need to see more to base it off? So first of all, I'm horrible with introductions, but Mandy Mayhem is in the building, y'all.
That sounds like a bunch of drunk frat boys.
It does. I need to get like women like with the tops off. Like I need to celebrate the real thing. Like,
yeah.
It's pussy empowerment. I need like pussy applause. If somebody out there can get me some pussy applause.
Okay.
Let's get that.
Clap, clap.
My fiance is looking at me like, okay, she's already starting. Pussy, like, that's wet ass pussy right there. You know, that's the sound of wet ass pussy. That's what they were really talking about, the WAP. But anyways, so Mandy, I had to do some more deep dives. I forgot which video it was, but I believe it was over a 50 Cent instrumental.
Oh.
And this was like early last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened, but I was just like, okay, somewhere down the line, I got to get acquainted with her. Mm. So our mutual friend, Sarah, slid in my DMs and she's like, would you like to interview Mandy Mayhem? I think she would be the perfect guest for you. And I was like, wait, Mandy. There's not a lot of Mandy's I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I'm like, oh, holy shit. I'm going to actually get the pussy empowerment lyricist, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The female MC to come and join Sapphire's Airplay. And this has just been great. because I really think that you are redefining and you are giving women, and not just like women, but also you are cultivating a new lane for white women in hip hop.
Mm.
Let's face it. Mm-hmm. White women in hip hop has been a controversial thing since the start.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you yourself, I mean, I'm looking at your life story and you're a survivor.
Mm.
You know, you have been through some shit like any other woman, but you also have this like, I don't give a fuck attitude with your music. Shows.
Mm.
Absolutely shows 1000%. So, Mandy, thank you so much for just joining. I'm not trying to make you cry, but it's just like.
Thank you.
You don't get a lot of females who talk about their bodies and get respected and get love, and you have been getting some cosigns from some heavy hitters. Mm-hmm. I mean, from Public Enemy. Mm-hmm. For Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You're working with
Heath Shockley.
Yeah
like, I know,
how does this shit manifest for like
I don't know, it's crazy. Well, it's not crazy because, you know, that first video that went viral was a Jay-Z track. I actually had a dream about Jay-Z last night.
Was it a sex dream?
No, not. It was going to be. And then I woke up. But I have this whole theory because I've had many dreams about him over the years. For many years. He will pop into my dreams every once in a while when I'm having some sort of issue in my relationship to hip hop. And I think to me, he represents hip hop. So he'll show up in that form. And last night we were laughing hysterically. I don't know about what, but we were cracking jokes and sitting on this couch and he's like, do you want to come to Hawaii with me? And I was like, fuck yeah. And then I started like making plans as to how to get there without Beyonce catching me. And then I woke up because it was like too complicated and my brain needed to wake up to figure out like how we were going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I love Beyonce. Like I would like to have a threesome with them. That's my ultimate goal. But like, obviously, I'd still fuck Jay if he wanted me to the DL.
So you really get wet off of Jay-Z. Is that what you're trying to say?
Dude, it's like, I don't even know why. Like, anyway. So the first...
Y'all, hold on. There was a pause.
Yeah, I had to think about it. Because, like, he's ugly. Like, he's ugly.
Okay.
But he's so fucking sexy. Like, dude. And I know he knows how to fuck because of the way he raps. I know he knows how to fuck because of the way he raps. I do. One of my favorite songs to cover is Renegade, which
really?
Is Jay-Z and Eminem.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is how different their flows are. And it really, like, even in that one song, the education I got about flow, it was, you know, it took me, I don't even know how many years, and to perfect that song, to make it my own, let's say. But the way in which they rap is like dick energy. It's like Jay-Z sits on the back of the beat. He like waits as long as fucking humanly possible, jumps around, you know, chasing the hi-hat all over the track is one of his lines in Hovey Baby. But he like, he wraps around the beat. You don't even know where he's going to land, which is the beauty of it. He's a jazz instrument on a beat. And Eminem is predictable in terms of where he sits. He doesn't play around a lot. And I can hear some of that in me. And it's not because I want to have big dick rap energy, but I like get excited and I sometimes rush things. And so sometimes I'm at the front end of the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fucking, also I'm dancing and like can't hear shit, and my setup is so ridiculous when I'm live on TikTok. That's a whole other story. But
you know what? I love the rawness, because let's face it,
yeah,
hip hop started as a very raw, untapped energy.
Yes.
You know, you take it back to the 70s where scratching was not really ever heard, and you hear people rhyming off beat.
Intentionally, because they were raised on jazz, that generation. They understood the ethos behind not being in time. Mm-hmm. That was a rage against the machine, not the band, but like, you know, it was what's the word I'm looking for, just like, we're not gonna fucking do what you want us to do.
Right.
That's why jazz was so revolutionary, because it was like, let's not let's take the formula and make it our own and go against the grain. And that's hip hop did the same thing. So when you syncopation is like comes from, it's rebellious is the word I'm looking for.
You know, I hate to say it though too. It's like, in a sense, I know for me, I've been very openly and said that I do not like the hip hop generation that is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially just because everything's sounding the same. Sampling is great. You know, James Brown is the most sampled out of hip hop history,
mm-hmm.
which is fine and dandy, but everybody's starting to be saturated. It's becoming too commercialized. It's losing its rawness. Then you come up into the field and, you know, you're now putting yourself against like the Cardi B's and the Sexy Reds and the Meg the Stallions out there, which is great mm-hmm. because we need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hip hop wasn't just a black thing. It is a culture thing. You know, there's black, brown, white people everywhere. It's a mixing pot.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody out there is going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? No, if you look at it, Beastie Boys, these white boys, you know, look like they should be at the local frat house, but they're coming from the five boroughs and coming with bars that are like,
I wasn't a fan of theirs.
You know, I will admit, until college,
yeah,
and started listening to like, not the stuff that was like airplay, but just, you know, just regular, their music.
The album cuts,
the yeah. deep cuts yeah. and stuff like that. I kind of grew into them.
Mm.
Do I still like say like they're my top five? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they kind of paved their own way.
Yeah.
You know, Action Bronson, a lot of people hate on him. The way that you are like, Jay-Z is so fucking ugly, but yet he's fuckable. That's how I feel about Action Bronson.
Yeah.
Like, I always say I would never fuck a man or let a man fuck me with bigger titties. But now he's like becoming a slimmer.
Uh-huh.
But his flow.
Oh, I like big tits. I don't care if they're on a man or a woman. I like fat men. I don't know why.
I haven't fucked a fat man.
Oh, dude. There was this Italian, a chef in
Ooh.
Italy.
Ooh.
He was so fucking greasy and just like covered in fucking shrimp. So short segue. I don't know. Fucking wormhole. So I was in Italy with a friend of mine. She was there with her boyfriend. They broke up. We stayed an extra couple of days, dated every guy in this little small town. She got chased out by one of their wives and left early. I stayed and like moved in with this chef for a couple of days because he had a place to stay. And so it was a one bedroom apartment. I think it was his like side place. Like, I'm sure he had a wife. They all had like wives, right?
Side place to bring the side hoes, y'all.
Yeah. I like one night went on a date with a guy on his moped up to this spot. It was like a lookout spot. And when we got there, there was another guy that I had gone with out on a date the night before, and he was there with a different chick. And we both like, I was like, we can't stay here. I just went out with that guy last night. But anyway, so the chef, he asked me, what do I want for breakfast? And I was like, I don't know, fruit. And then what do you want for lunch? I said, shrimp would be nice. I don't know. He fucking went fishing in the Mediterranean, got shrimp. I don't know how. And then cooked them and had them waiting for me on the stove when I woke up in the morning. And like did you ever see the Christmas Carol version where the guy's like sitting on a mountain of fruit?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like that mountain of fruit waiting for me in the morning when I woke up.
What kind of pussy did you give him?
Dude, I got crazy pussy. So so the shrimp though, they had the heads on them and the eyes and shit, and I've never seen that before in my life. Clearly, like,
you know, you gotta suck the head.
I've seen a shrimp ring. That's all I've ever seen. Like, I am a Canadian white lady. Like, I don't know anything about food. So I'm like, fucking, I can't eat the shrimp. I ate like one nectarine and left the fruit mountain for whatever. So he comes home, he starts peeling the shrimp, and he has like fucking grease all down his arms, and I'm hungry, and he's like, just got home from working in the kitchen, he's all sweaty and shit, and I was like, fuck me now, like, something about this shrimp juice all over your hands makes me want to have sex with you.
Shrimp juice lubrication, yeah. First and foremost, y'all, food play and sex, I hate to burst your bubble,
yeah.
Yeast infection. That is the recipe for yeast infections.
Well, he didn't put it in my vagina.
Okay, good.
Just the penis.
Just the penis. But no lubrication from the shrimp juice. Mm-mm. Great.
No.
Just have the full disclaimer out there.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's one guy that I was with often. He's probably watching right now. He used to use olive oil. Like,
no.
Yeah, he always wanted to jerk off with not in me, but at the end, he would want to jerk off with olive oil and then like make me suck his dick. And it was just a super weird flavor. I was like, I don't. This, first of all, is not very good olive oil. Like, I can tell it's not like Italian from Italy. But I don't know. He was into it. So,
you know what? The things that my vagina has experienced, you know, you always have like those lays where you're like, you just have to let it go and just let it happen.
Mm.
Not a second time.
Mm.
Just experience it one time. You're thinking about it. She's thinking about it.
Yeah, I went back again a couple more times.
A couple more times.
With the olive oil.
With the olive oil.
But we would, you know, and I would freestyle. And he was like the first one who would say to me, I think you can freestyle. And I'd be like, I can't. I can only write. I don't freestyle. But he would like give me a little bit of marijuana and I would freestyle. And like he taped me one time with his phone, you know, and I was like, I'm actually good at this, but I still was too scared to do it. Now I do it all the time because I basically have run out of things to do because I need to make so much content. I'm like, fuck it, I'll just start freestyling.
I think you spit beautifully. I didn't realize that, you know, some of the content you like read off a screen.
Yeah. Well, sometimes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The one video that's like got 10 million views, the Big Papa one, I was reading off a screen.
Okay, that's the one I had, I just hadn't
learned it yet, so it was like, whatever, I have to throw up a video, oh my god, I have 5 minutes, I have to go live, let me just throw this up. That's why it says at the top, it's like, new verse I'm working on. like it's just so ridiculous, it's so stupid. Like, now I understand why it went viral, because if you're like, what in the actual fuck is this, what do you mean new verse you're working on, like that, you have other verses, like,
I'll
what
admit,
is this,
that was the one where I was like, oh, this is on some fake shit, this can't be real, y'all. Yeah. No, but I was glad that I went back and I listened to your first EP that you made.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I've noticed that legendary clitoris is like your calling card.
Yeah.
Please tell me you've trademarked this shit.
No, it's so funny because like, I don't even know what possessed me to ever say that in the first place. Like, I don't know why, I don't recall the moment that line hit my mouth. Like, I don't know.
I'm glad you asked, like you answered the question, because I was,
yeah,
like, it's been on the top of my list. So I'm like, I got to bring up legendary,
yeah,
clitoris.
So the evolution of that, yes, particular freestyle began with a friend named Marin and a guy named DJ Dyslexia. And Marin goes by Betty Ford is her rap name. So she had a group in the 90s called Stink Mitt. And it was two women that were rappers, and
oh,
they actually toured with Peaches like back in the 90s. They opened for her.
Oh,
so she's
ass.
Marin was friends with Peaches. So we were going to do this track when A Millie came out, or like, I don't know if it was when, it must have been when A Millie came out, and we were going to do A Millie, but Ryan made a new beat and it was my pussy, my pussy, my pussy, my pussy, my mama, my pussy, my pussy, right? And so I was like, I didn't even know who Lil Wayne was. I was like, fuck all these new rappers, I don't care.
You were a Wheezy head.
I wasn't yet, no.
Oh, wow.
I had a whole disconnect from hip hop for a while because it hurt too much, honestly, because I was like denying this thing that I really wanted to do. So I couldn't, like, there's still shows that I can't watch and things that I can't get close to because it like bothers me so much that like I didn't write that or do it. Like, it's jealousy, but I'm getting over it. So I love Lil Wayne now. Like, he's so fucking clever and smart and oh my God, he's so dope. But anyway, so it was my pussy. So we were calling it Beaver Trap, the song, because we're all Canadian women, right?
I love that. Yo, you're killing my fiance in the corner. He's in the corner.
His face has been like this the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's like me when I saw Borat. Like, I actually had no idea what the fuck I was watching. I was like, is this real? What am I watching?
I don't think any of us realized what the fuck Borat was going to...
No.
Like,
I saw
what
it,
kind of an impact.
I saw it at TIFF, and it was like a middle of the night screening. So
oh
I had no notice. I didn't know who Sacha Baron Cohen, knew nothing. And I'm sitting there like, what the actual fuck is going on? And then halfway through, I'm like, these are real people. Oh my God. So anyway,
yes.
So the song, I wrote this verse to Beaver Trap, and it started out with like in an iteration that's close to what became My Vag Is the Truth. And that's a song that's on my EP. And in that song, one of the lines is, I got a legendary clitoris, don't stop, get it, get it. And I didn't originally say I got a legendary clitoris, don't stop, get it. But Fat Lip from the Far Side was working with me on that song. He mixed it.
I was going to say he produced the entire first EP, right?
No, just that song.
Just that song.
He mixed it. Ryan did it. Ryan, DJ Dyslexia. Mm-hmm. He produced all the tracks. He's amazing. He's in Toronto. So fucking talented. And he works like for Bell Canada or something. Like he's a DJ, but he doesn't make music enough, you know, and we've tried to do it remotely, but we work best when we're together. So hopefully we'll get back together and make another album. But in any case, Fat Lip actually came up with the line, don't stop, get it. And I was like, I don't want to say that. That's stupid. He's like, trust me, say that. Yes. And I was like, okay, fine. So when I started freestyling on TikTok, I had all these lyrics from past songs and like mixed in with all the covers that I know from years of doing hip hop karaoke and learning all these different tracks from different MCs. And when I was performing, I would see what people would respond back to in the comments. And every time I said legendary clitoris, people were like, what the fuck? Oh my God. So I was like, when I was in Philly, I did a show last May. And Gifted is the producer of the track Legendary. He invited me to come out to the studio. He's like, let's just, you know, fuck around and find out, see what happens. So he played me this beat and I was there with a couple friends. I Am Phantom, who's another MC. And we were like listening to this beat and I took the different freestyles that I had been working on and chose Legendary Clitoris as the hook. And it was the freestyles that I had seen the most response to. So it was a real like collaborative song in terms of pulling things that the audience was responding to that were all in the same storyline. Like I'm just talking about my pussy, but like, and then I also, the first verse I wrote, making you horny, squeezing your cock to stop the sperm tsunami, was I wrote that right after I had sex with my ex-boyfriend because he was just, he cried inside my vagina. It was so good. And I was like, I need to write a verse about this.
Can we normalize crying during, before, and after sex?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even joking. Like, my man is over here cracking up, but you know when you just have, like, that powerful sexual desire to rip somebody. Mm. And it's like, if you can make me cry... Mm-hmm. I'm yours forever.
Mm. It's not hard to make me cry. My dildo makes me cry.
Like your dildo makes... I don't think I've ever cried during masturbation.
Oh my God, I fucking cry. I scream, I cry, I laugh. It's like chaos. It scares people when I have sex with them when I do.
Would you say, like, do you have a name for your vagina?
No.
You've never named your vagina?
No.
I call mine Fine China.
Oh, I love that.
Right? Because if you think about it, it's like sex is like breaking dishes.
Mm.
So if I'm having that orgasmic experience, yes, baby, you haven't heard that in a while, but you be breaking dishes.
Congrats.
Gotta break the dishes.
He almost broke the computer, too.
Oh, he really did. He almost broke some shit. Okay, everything's fine now, but I almost had a heart attack before we got on air. But even like just all my partners, they know how to break my dishes well.
Mm.
Like I'm polyamorous, so that's why I was like, you fell into a trap.
Okay, I have a poem with a line about polyamory. It's not a good one.
I'll do the poem for
you at the end.
Please.
It's the poem I wrote after I had sex with several members of the same band.
Would you call yourself, like, what is your dating style? Are you monogamous? Where are you? I'm lonely.
That's my dating style.
Lonely?
Yeah.
Now you're in LA now.
Yeah, that's why.
It's trash, right?
It's fucking terrible.
It's so bad.
Everyone is psycho.
I agree.
Yeah.
I can't do the dating culture anymore. Like, I'm very thankful for the partners I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, we reactivated our Tinders. What was it last? I think it was last year. My fiance and I. I was like, for shits and giggles, let's just see what the fuck is out there. I have never, actually I lied. It's now the second time I've deleted an app so quickly. Mm-hmm. The first one was FetLife. I don't know how people
I've never heard of that.
FetLife is like Tinder for kinksters. And it's not? Oh, okay. It's like free porn. It's like the Facebook. Oh, it's like fuckbook. Facebook. Yeah. Mm. It's like kinksters Facebook.
I'm so scared of those apps because I was like an early adopter of the sex apps. Oh. When they were still on computers, I was horny always, but they had this app called Lava Life that was a Canadian dating site. It was called a dating site.
I feel like there were some like advertisements that came down this way.
Lava Life, two L's, and there was maybe it was a cult or some shit went down at the end. I don't remember what, but like I was on Lava Life, and I did quite well because I was cute, and I remember there was like. It was like dating and then fucking. I don't know what they called it, but it was like another tab. You know, you went in and I would go on there and it would be flooded, just flooded with like couples and people. And I was like, I don't know, like I'll talk to you and masturbate, but I'm not going to meet anyone because it's too crazy. So what I did end up doing is I met someone on the dating side and I went and drove, you know, I was living in a small town outside of Toronto and I went and drove to another small town and he drove up from the city and we met. And it turns out we met in a parking lot and I got in his car and we started chatting or whatever. And it turned out that he had just got out of prison. He was in his like mid-20s and that meant that he had been in prison for 10 years from a teenager. And when you go away for 10 years as a teenager, you've murdered someone. So that was good to figure out early in the car with him.
Oh my God.
I still made out with him because he's cute. And so we made out and he like reached out and grabbed my boob and like squeezed it like a 10-year-old would. It's like, I don't think he'd been with anyone, you know, like whatever age. Right. And I was like, not doing it for me, but I'm not going to correct you because you've been in a correctional facility for a long time and perhaps... I don't know what triggering. I'm fucking with here. Yeah. Also, you know, I don't know what I know now about incarceration and the way I feel about it is totally different. Mass incarceration is like, as soon as I can, that's the thing I'm going to, battle for, you know, against.
We need it.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah. I'm a Canadian, right? So it's a different world. And now that I'm here and I'm understanding what's going on, it's just absolutely atrocious. But in any case, that was early dating site trauma. So I now like don't do well on them. I just kind of am freaked out by everybody for the most part. And especially the kink ones, cause it was so overwhelming at first. And I also have this like kink shame. Like I feel like I'm really vanilla for all the things that I talk about sexually. Like I haven't done a lot of crazy shit. Like I've drank piss. I've like had a lot of threesomes. I've had, you know, foursomes and whatever, like put my face in a lot of vaginas and what else? I don't know. Like had sex in weird places.
Have you pegged anybody?
No, but I really want to.
I do too.
Yeah. Super badly. That's my first question. So I've been interviewing people on my TikTok live that want to date me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, how is your relationship with your mom? Do you have any kids? Like, what's your favorite book? Have you ever been pegged? Those are like my top five questions.
You know what? Ass play. How you say you're vanilla?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a vanilla aspect of me because I am very sensitive to smell and I'm a germaphobe. So it's like I get a lot of guys that come up to me and they will ask me to peg them and I'm like, no, thank you. I don't know where that ass has been.
Yeah. I don't want it to explode on my belly.
On my belly, on my sheets.
Ooh.
Like none of that. And I've been traumatized. I also edit porn on top of my radio work. So it's like I've seen it all.
I believe you.
And it's not pretty, y'all. Okay? Like, please, enema, dietary, clean asshole, shave it. Do it all.
Oh, I don't shave mine. I kind of think because I don't want anyone going in there. Like I think that's probably why I'm just like, there's a cave, here's the doors. Yeah. Like
it's an exit. Shut your dirty mouth. You shut your eyes.
What? Did I open up the like shaving gate here?
Well, okay. So my man, I love my man's body, but he's got a hairy booty. And I'm just like, and it's not like, you know, undeniably hairy. It's just like his butt cheeks have like a little hair.
Yeah.
It's like a little patch of hair, but the rest of his body is like a werewolf.
Yeah.
Closed? Get close?
It's closed. So you won't go in there.
Yes, it's closed. And the hair.
You don't like things in your butthole?
No, no.
Oh my God.
He's the Dom. So it's like, no. Oh, I see. It's a. I see.
So there was a guy that I was with who was a sex addict. And I have to say that because I have to like normalize what was very abnormal. Not abnormal, just unhealthy.
Yeah.
But he was quite good at keeping his butthole clean, I will say. And I did a lot of investigating in there and I found like there's like a vein in your butthole that's so when you go in,
yeah,
you go in like this and it's down here, it's down at the bottom in the like where the taint is, you know, and it's like it feels like a clit. It feels the way my clit feels. It's like a very hard when it's aroused, like vein or something.
Right.
And when you toggle, back and forth, I'm going to make a YouTube video about it. Not with your tongue, because who the hell's, I mean, my tongue is not, my tongue, look at my tongue.
That's still a probing, you know what?
No, it's so little. It's I'm tongue tied. I didn't realize that. I was like, why doesn't everyone else's tongue look like a butt?
It's a cute tongue.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel seen.
It's got cake. I didn't even know a tongue could have some cakes, but like.
I know, I have like a fat dick tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you mind showing that to the camera one more
Which
time?
One? Like, this one?
Yeah, that one. Just look at that. That is fat cake tongue. That's going in the cut. That's a cut right there because I've never seen cake. You know, they talk about like white women having no cakes. No. You got cake.
I got cake.
You got cake.
I'm putting that in a song.
Please do.
I will.
Please do.
Great.
I love you. I adore you. But no, I love how freely sexual you are. But you know what? It is a funny thing. The more you talk about sex, sometimes there's a vanilla aspect. I firmly agree on it.
Like ultimately, I just want someone to hold me really close and breathe in my ear. Like
what do they need to breathe in your ear?
Preferably some other language that I don't understand.
As long as it's respectable.
I don't care what they're saying if I don't know, if I don't speak it. Like if it's Italian or like even Jamaican, sometimes I can't understand. Patois.
I'm going to have to learn some patois. Yeah. I'm doing a disservice to my people.
I know a lot of it from growing up in Toronto, like listening to dance hall. I was a big dance hall fan in the 90s.
I need the resurgence to come back.
Yeah.
Because that was an era. Like the Sean DePauls and the
Billy
Mons.
Even early Shaba was my man.
Shaba.
and Buju Banton's like one of my favorites.
Oh my God.
Oh, actually my favorite dance hall song is super weird. It's almost like a kindergarten. It's called Fresh Vegetable. I can't even say it in my own accent. Vegetable? How do you say vegetable?
Vegetable.
Vegetable? Thank you. Vegetable. Fresh, but he says vegetable.
Jeff.
it's Tony Rebel. We come and love you January, love you September, dangna February, dangna October, dangna March, dangna November, dangna April, right till December, because I'm the time when you're not a winter and the time is cold and me need a lover. So if you come, little girl, come closer, and when you hold me touch it, I'll be hold me a little tighter. You want me fresh vegetable. So tell me if you love Tony Rebel. That's such a good song. That's like,
yo,
so good.
Come on. And I was feeling the vibe. I was swaying with you.
Right up. Thank you for supporting me.
Yeah, you got the invitation to the cookout, the reunions, everything certified. That's it.
That's all I want.
On the table.
So when I first went viral, I started telling the story like an hour ago, but like when I first went viral, I can't finish my stories. P.S.
That's okay.
There was a lot of pushback and, you know, one of the debates that was going on online was like whether or not I was allowed to come to the cookout. So I made this list of like all the characters basically that people were calling me. It's like, if I can embrace all of these things that I'm afraid might be true about me, then they don't have power over me. It's like a thing in acting training, you know, it's you avoid revealing these things about yourself. And then you have this sort of like scar tissue in your instrument. Like, I don't want anyone to know that I'm actually a total bitch, so I won't play one. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, that's your money. Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't want to play my mother because I don't want anyone to know who my mother is, so I'll avoid it. So it's very empowering when you step into it and play that role and play that character. So in my list was like horny old lady. So I've really been leaning into that one.
It works.
It works. And also it's funny. Like it doesn't have power over me. When I sit and I'm like ashamed of being a horny old lady, it's just not a good look inside my brain. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of the discussion, the pushback was around, you know, racism and, well, was it around racism? Appropriation. It was about appropriation. And so I was like, well, what if I'm just like the white lady who's just desperate to be invited to the cookout? Because like, it's true. I've always just been like, please. And I had this experience when I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I went to, my mom lived in St. Louis, and I went to a teen dance there at Six Flags Over Mid-America.
Oh my God.
And they played, you know, music. And there was the white kids on one side of the room and black kids on the other side of the room. And I'd never in my life seen anything like that except in like Gone with the Wind or like movies about the like Civil War.
You hear about it, you know, the Elvis concerts even.
I'd never seen that. Yeah. This was like 19, I guess it was the late 80s.
Wow.
And was it the late 80s? No, it was early. It was later than that. It was the 90s. I don't fucking know. Whatever. It's the 80s. It's the 80s. So they play Enter Sandman. And this white kid with like long hair, he was a banger. I don't know if you use that terminology. We called them headbangers.
Yeah, headbangers.
Headbangers.
Yeah.
So he like pulled his chair out into the middle of the floor, sat on it and banged his head and whipped his blonde long hair around. And I was like, I hate this song. I don't know what's happening. Why are all the white kids over in the corner going, yeah,
like moshing?
What's happening? They were just standing there, like encouraging him.
Yeah.
So then the DJ switches it up and he plays It Takes Two by Rob Bass.
Yes.
No one moves. I'm like, oh my God, this is my favorite fucking song. So I run out into the middle of the floor and I start doing the Running Man, like immediately.
Love it.
And then no one's responding. So I start doing the Roger Rabbit and no one cares. And like I do, like I have like four dances, like the kid and play kick step by myself. Ooh. Like I'm doing like all the things. It doesn't work so well by yourself. But anyway, I do that. And then these three little black girls come over to me. They weren't so little, actually. One was quite intimidating. And they say, will you teach us how to dance? And I was like, I don't think they're being serious. I think they're mad at me or they're like upset. I don't know. I don't know how to process this. Like, this is not in my world at all. I'm just like, music. I can fix this. Like, come on, let's out party. Let's dance it out, you know? And then, so I remember running away crying. And I don't even remember who was with me. It was like some other little girl from the neighborhood where my mom was staying. And I was like, you don't understand. It's not like this where I'm from. I don't know how to deal. And I honestly feel like it was like this fucking formative moment for me. And I'm still trying to do it. Like,
I feel you.
There's something about, if I can just show the world, it makes me emotional, how much I love hip hop and how much I love this culture, that somewhere in there we can find the love for each other. Like, just, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I feel it. You know, there's even the internalized thing with black folks where I, myself, a lover of hip hop, a lover of my own culture and my background. And I'm very proud to come from not just a black family, but a very mixed family as well.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's always been hard hitting is that I have been called not black enough to be on black airwaves, not white enough to be on rock stations, not black or white enough. They just cannot put me in a box in this industry. And I think that's why for me, when I created Earplay, which originally was called Erotic City Radio after Prince.
So good.
Because Prince, Janet Jackson are my inspirations.
Yeah.
But I look at those two artistries and, you know, there's always that common, you know, conception that, you know, hip hop is black culture. And I mean it when I say it. It is, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. I feel like hip hop is that one type of culture where it did bring a lot of races together, because there are a lot of great hip hop musicians who are not black.
Mm-hmm.
You go over to France, mm-hmm. and those motherfuckers are spitting like no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's something that swag, just listening to, you know, international waters in hip hop, and it's all the same universal language. You look at cultures in Japan, and especially in Japan, I mean, they have battlegrounds.
Mm.
They have boxing rings for hip hop, for freestyle battles. Nowhere else I've seen that before. You know, filling the stations.
I'm so excited right now because I'll have someone to talk to you about after the show.
Yeah.
But 100%. And I think that's one of the reasons why when I got the pushback, mm-hmm. it wasn't coming from artists who have been around.
You've gotten a lot of nods from
yeah,
some of the
because
biggest.
They know. When yeah. As soon as they left America, they know where their fans are.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go to Europe and sell out shows where and they can't get anyone out here to come to a show.
Yeah.
Because that's where the art form has continued. It's like jazz, you know, it's still alive and well in Europe. But I do think because of the history of appropriation, the history of not giving credit where credit's due in the Black American community, that it's very important to continue to tell the story mm-hmm. of where it came from and acknowledge the you know, the emergence of an art form never before seen in that iteration, even before the days in the Bronx, the way that it evolved in
the first
minstrel
party.
Shows and yeah. like, you know, way back on the plantations, like the art form, the underground, the terminology in hip hop that comes from, you know, we have to talk about things that we can't talk about in public. That's where the let's make up our own words comes from, right? Is that history, that tradition.
Right.
It's just really important to keep it alive, you know? So when you say I'm protective of the culture, fuck yes.
Like, you have to.
I feel the same way. And it's scary though, because I know I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And there's people who, it's a religion, you know? So I feel afraid and have felt afraid for a long time to make a contribution and to speak on it, because I was afraid of getting it wrong and getting attacked. Well, I got attacked and I continuously get attacked every day. And now I just don't give a fuck, because I'm like, you can't make me ashamed of the fact that I want to be invited to the barbecue. Like, I do. Yeah. I also don't know how to fucking cook and I need to be fed.
Honey, I don't know how to cook. Okay. You know what I provide? Drinks and pussy.
Okay, great.
That's amazing. All I do.
So we drinks go to the barbecue pussy. With someone else who's cooking and right. like, you know, it's fine.
We fit in where we fit in.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But
that's
it's very moving when people say to me that I'm contributing to the culture, that I'm having an effect on, like, I don't know. I'm just literally like expressing, like, I think that art is about asking questions, and I don't think that I'm trying to insert answers into mm-hmm. anything, but I do have a lot of questions.
I love how you're, artistry comes off to me as unapologetic, extremely,
mm-hmm.
because I love how you just get in front of that camera and you're dancing, you're flailing it, you're moaning, you're growing. Like, I love that, because we need more authenticity. We're in a day and era where everything is on social media. You know, I was telling you how uncomfortable I am doing a video interview,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like once the video is on, I got to put on airs. I got to put on makeup. I got to look presentable.
Right.
All this type of bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's no longer satisfying me.
Mm.
I was about to end this show 2 years ago because I felt like podcasts are saturated. Mm. Who's going to fucking listen to me anymore? I've been talking about this shit. I've been demanding my roses.
Mm-hmm.
But then something gravitated to me and it's like, I created something more than just myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't care about the views on social media. I could give two fucks less about the followers. As long as somebody and a group of people, my earbuds, from across the nation, across the globe, my biggest audience is not even in America. That's a lot said. Yeah. It's in fucking Brazil, out of all fucking places.
Brazilians like me too. That's so funny. Yeah.
You gotta love the Brazilian. Like, I got, we gotta do a tour or something.
We gotta go
like,
to Brazil.
Please. Gotta do it.
Get it.
Get the Rio de Janeiro's on.
Those fucking Latin lovers. Yeah. Mm. Damn.
But it's like, I love how your artistry just, it's in your face, it's raw, and it's something that's needed. It's something that's bringing it back to women. Because we, as women, I mean, we've been dealing with all this bullshit.
What bullshit? What are you talking about? Everything's fine.
Do we got enough time for this? But you know what I mean? Like, I love how you just, you're unapologetic about your pussy.
Mm-hmm.
You make men, women, people uncomfortable about talking about your pussy. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You should be uncomfortable about a woman expressing herself sexually. Okay? I have to be jaded by the fact that men are able to brag about their body count and a woman, for Christ's sake, can't talk about her body count.
So I did an interview on my TikTok last night or the night before. There was a guy who he's a big gifter of mine. So he gives a lot of gifts and he's like, I want you to marry me. And I was like, okay.
Is he like your TikTok sugar daddy? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I have a few.
I love it.
He was one. I don't know if he still will be because we met and I interviewed him and I asked him the questions like, have you ever been pegged? And I did just explain to him what pegging was. So no. But he did say that he did a video of his butthole. So I don't know. It was very confusing. Like on an app, like maybe he was a butthole star. I don't know.
Like OnlyFans?
I don't know what the app was. Oh. It was unclear because you can't say that app name on TikTok or it will kick you out.
The fuckers.
Yeah. What was the point of this story?
We were talking about empowerment. You were talking about interviewing this man and...
Oh, body count.
Body count.
So I was like, what's your body count? And he's like, I don't know what that means. Did I murder someone? I was like, no. No. How many people have you had sex with? He's like, 13. And I was like, what? I was like, at once? 1,300? I don't know. Can you please elaborate? He's like, no, probably 13. I was like, I can't be with you. I can't be with you because I think that's lovely. I'm glad that you've had your nice little life with your 13 people. But like, I'm not. There's going to be a point where you're like, you've been with more people than I have. And I'm going to be like, yes. And I'm telling you that right now. Mm-hmm. You need to go and multiply that by a factor of a lot. If
wow.
And it's not even about, oh, yes, it is. It is about experience. It is about hangups. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have them if you've had a lot of partners.
Right.
But I just, it was a hard no. And then I was like, what's your favorite book? And he said the Bible. And I was like, bye. It's fine. Peace to the Bible. I just think there's other spiritual texts that are a little bit more current that you could probably read.
For real. For real. You know what? I'm glad you said that too, because body count, I always say the amount of sexual experience it takes to get to that one person or a group of people. Like we were talking about in a previous episode, my fiance and I talking about our sexuality does not define the partner who you're with. And the biggest thing is like people have been asking us, you're polyamorous and engaged. Does that stop? I'm like, absolutely not. It's going to keep enhancing our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're plotting a wedding orgy for Christ's sake.
That's
okay?
So fun.
Right.
I love that.
You know, celebrate our love and then we all share.
I want to hear what the mixtape is. Like what's going to be the music in the background?
That's going to be interesting because usually I provide the eargasms because we did it to my poor fiance. I don't know if you can get down to this, but like, and I know it's controversial to say the word gypsy, but that's the best way to hot jazz, carnival style. Like,
stop.
Yes. That's what he gets down to.
What? I don't even know this type of music, but it sounds like what I keep describing when producers hit me up and they're like, what kind of beats do you want? I'm like, I want it to sound like a circus, but with the floor is really dirty.
Oh, you would. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Go take my fiance for a spin. That's what I like to say. Yeah.
This is a type of music or this is just what you're fucking like is like both. OK.
Oh, he's great.
Cool.
He's a great lover.
Yeah.
He's a whore. He doesn't look like it, but he's
such a whore. No, he doesn't look like it. It's definitely.
Oh, he's dangerous, Mandy. He's dangerous. Yeah, have a take. It's all good.
Oh my God.
I bet you've never been on a podcast show where it's like, yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Take him for a ride.
No.
Yeah.
Ride it. My fiance. You're horny. Let's do it.
That's how it is. But no, I mean, it's gonna
shouldn't
be very
we
hectic.
Get his consent? Like, you're just like, no.
Oh, no, no, you have fine. It. Okay. Yeah. No, I know.
You know.
No, okay. I know my man. Yeah. I know my fiance. I know. You are. He likes women. That's what it is.
Yeah.
He loves women. He's a romancer.
Oh, my God. He's amazing.
Great. He's amazing. He's great people. Sorry, baby. He's so embarrassed right now. I'm going to get this later. I'm gonna get some spankings into it later. It's all good. So, Mandy, in wrapping, oh, my God, I feel like I can talk to you for hours.
Yeah.
And I would like to continue this very much now that you're in L.A., I hear. So.
Well, we'll see. I've been here for 10 years, but let's see how much longer.
I feel you.
I have this acting coach who said to die in L.A. is redundant.
So Pac got it wrong, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. is too expensive. I mean, shit. They're going to tax you for the fact that you died, okay? Let's be
and
real.
And it's like, why is everyone so stupid in their cars? Like, why are they so stupid? Like, what the fuck are you doing in your car? You're supposed to be driving and you're not doing that. You're, like, sleeping. Like,
sleeping.
Head back on the headrest, like, looking out the sunroof. Hello?
I've seen it all. Men shaving, women brushing their teeth. I've seen a man reading the newspaper in traffic. I'm like, listen, I'm a horrible driver, even as a traffic reporter. But you motherfucker, like,
right.
That's some skill.
I can't.
Where are your hands on the steering wheel? Because that's a skill. That's a skill. But what is coming up in 2024 for Mandy? Where are we taking? Like, where are you going to go?
Well, I'm working on an EP with Keith Shockley from Public Enemy.
Beautiful.
We've spent a lot of hours in the studio already. Mm-hmm. We've got 4 songs sort of scratched out, maybe 5. So we're working on those. There's a couple other producers I've been chatting with. Havoc from Mobb Deep is one of them. Yeah. So hopefully that happens.
We get a Quiet Storm Part 3? Like,
yeah.
Oof,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He's pretty sick with it. There's also this other dancer. How do you say his last name? His first name's Carlos. I think it's Olivari. But he was on the show Step Up,
mm-hmm.
High Water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Jade is his partner. They were partners in the show. Mm-hmm. There was a storyline, they fell in love and now they're together. But he's a sick producer and he created these fucking crazy beats for me. That are Latin-based hip-hop.
Wow.
Like, they're fucking insane. I wrote to one of them already, but I don't know if it's offensive, what I wrote. So I have to check in with some folks. Like, yeah, because it might be offensive.
Uh-oh.
It's like, it's a song about me just really, really wanting my son to be gay, but he's not. I really was hoping that he would grow up to be gay. So then I'm like, since my son's not gay, where are my fancy boys? Like, I don't know if fancy boys is a bad term, and that's the hook, is it like fancy boys? But I feel like
B-O-I-S or B-O-Y-S?
I don't know what the spelling is, but
boy would be more the, like, B-O-I is okay. More the feminine energy
okay.
That you get.
Fancy B-O-I. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so the song's about, like, I want, because my grandmother, so my uncle was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember always going over to my grandmother's house and she would be in, like, in her regalia and him and all of his, like, boyfriends would be around just fawning all over her. And that's how I visualized my life ending. Like, my golden years would be me with a bunch of gay men. And I don't have that. And so the song is like putting out a call, like, where are you? But I didn't know if that, like, was the right terminology. So I have to, like, check, you know.
I would say, as part of the LGBTQIA community,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's offensive.
Okay.
You know, people can correct us. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I don't like using the F word. Some people do it as like a reclamation.
Oh, F-8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like,
the British, the British term for cigarettes.
Yeah, copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
I don't say that.
Yeah, I don't say it either. It's like equivalent to the N word, to be honest to me.
Yeah.
But
because we grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know when you grew up, but
I'm 89, so 90s baby all the way.
Yeah.
You know. But I think how people, you know, identify themselves, it's all up to, like,
mm-hmm.
who you ask,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I think of it as an homage to my grandmother. I think it's even in there, too. And my uncle. My uncle passed from AIDS-related complications in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
which had a huge effect on me too in lots of ways, but I don't think I've even processed it still, because it was like watching him go was really awful. So I think of this as like a love letter to them. Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Now you have a couple shows coming up too. Yeah. In the new year.
Yeah.
You're going to be in New York, I believe, in February.
In Brooklyn. We still haven't closed the date yet, unfortunately. Okay. But yeah, it's going to be in Brooklyn.
Okay.
It might even be March, but I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
And that's the only show I have planned because I'm on TikTok like 3-4 times a week now trying to pay my rent. Like, that's what's up.
We got to do what we got to do.
But someone messaged me yesterday and he said, I want you to be my whatever. He didn't say sugar baby, but it was something like that. And I'll send you $7,000 a week. And I just want you to give me advice. And I was like, sure. I just said, sure. I was like, sure, whatever. If you're real, here's my Cash App. Send me money and we'll talk. I don't know. I have high hopes.
I got no words. Okay, this is why y'all needed the visual, because I'm over here like, LA taxes us if we blew wind. If I farted, I feel like I'm gonna get a fine from the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And over here, some man just randomly DMs you and just wants to drop 7 racks.
I think they're out there. I think those people are out there that want to send money.
Yeah.
I really do. And I'm here for it. Just saying, because I need it. Like, what I'm doing is a full-time job and it doesn't pay like that. It's like, you know, if I go live, I go hard in my show.
Yes.
You can hear it in my voice. I'm like, my voice is burning out from going live so much. And, you know, I make a lot of money in an hour comparatively. I make about $100 in tips, but TikTok takes 70%. So I'm making like $300 or $400 and they're taking their cut and everything I'm getting else. $100. But like $300 a week does not a fun life make. So just to be real, like I'm like selling a couple t-shirts here and there and like I'll get a brand maybe a month here, a month there, but the brands, you know, what I'm doing is not brand friendly. So there's that component. And then also it's a lot of smaller brands who want me to be their sales department. And I'm like, I'm marketing for you, but I'm not responsible for closing your deals. Like one company paid me $3,000. I got them 1 million views on their video and sent, you know, actually this was two different companies. Another one, I sent 3,000 people to their website, but it's like, they're like, oh, we only sold 5 things. And I'm like, well, that's your problem.
Exactly.
I'm sending traffic to you. So, but I don't have time to run your business and mine. So it's been really, that's been really frustrating and disappointing, actually, the whole brand component and how much they want you to work for free. So in any case, what I'm hoping is that I can get people to actually leave their houses and come and see me in person and come to my shows. And then I've had a couple conversations with Live Nation where they've been close to putting me on a bill for a festival or what have you. And that's what I really want to do. I want to go out. I have all these ideas for like how, you know, I grew up watching Madonna. I'm like, I want to reinvent concerts. I want to integrate social media into my concerts in a way that like brings my live community in. Because I opened for The Far Side in Venice in April. And there were 200 people there. It was packed, full house. And I went live for 30 minutes while I was on and 20,000 people watched.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you compare that? I'm, you know, and I performed for free for them, like, because they, you know, they were just giving me a chance to get up on stage. But I didn't make any money on, or maybe I made $40 on TikTok, but like, that's more than I made doing the show. It's like, you know, but ultimately I need that balance of being out in the world and would like to actually start making like Live Nation money.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm really fucking entertaining. And even if the crowd is annoyed, I'm not going to be another rapper. And I'm not upset with what's going on in hip hop. I think it's very, reflective of a lot of things, but, I'm on board with what's going on, but the live show component of what's going on in hip hop is really sad. And I would love to see that elevated. So
I love that you say that because there is the artistry that is missing. Like, yeah, we've seen Taylor Swift and Beyonce reinventing like the whole concert stage presence, but that's not every single artist. You know, people ask me, oh, you work in radio, so you must go to this concert. No, I don't waste money on some of these artists that I know are just going to stand in front of a mic for 3 hours and show up late, which is disrespectful as fuck, especially if I'm paying top dollar. But then you're not giving me an experience.
I do more in my corner of my living room than most of them do on a giant stage.
And I love that.
Like,
that
get me on stage.
Yes. I want to see you give a full-on experience.
Fuck yeah. I was a choreographer for 10 years for cheerleading, competitive cheerleading. Wow. So acrobatics, like Cirque du Soleil shit, essentially.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, like, hello. I'm just, like, put me in, coach. I'm ready. And let me go. Like, that's one of the reasons I wrote the song Teach You How to Fuck, which is coming out in February. It's coming. is because there's that element. I do have a lot of younger folks that watch, a lot of young men and women 25 to 35 are like big demographics for me. And young men need to learn how to fuck. They need instruction. Young women need instruction also. And I know that if I get on the circuit, I'm probably going to be like, the concerts they were going to put me on were with like Ice Spice and Lil Uzi and all that. And it's like, this is what the audience needs. Hip hop needs a mama right now.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
I'm ready to be that mama. And, you know, no one else, like, there's mothers, of course, like Cardi B is a mother and Akbar, you know, they're moms, but in a different way, like they're moms to their children. Right. I'm gonna mom. Yeah.
No, you
Slim Shady gray haired lady rappers is my sons. Y'all mama's little babies. Maybe I could teach you a thing about standards. Teach you how to rap as long as you got the manners. Treat your mama nice now. If not, then pipe down. Word. Greatest rapper out the fucking burbs, BDE, poking out my gray fur, yes sir, up and on one. I only have a few gray hairs on my pussy, by the way. It's not that much. It's not all gray, but it's kind of like my hair. It's like a streak.
Oh my God, ended right there. I love you. I adore you. You know, thank you for blessing the mic. Thank you for blessing our eyes, ears for this hour. Like, I'm really hoping to see you thrive.
Thank you.
I really want people to experience the Mandy Mayhem that you bring, please. Where can people follow you? We're going to drop it, of course, like your link tree and everything in the episode. But I love to just like, where can they find you?
Find me. Please go to my YouTube. Please follow me on YouTube. It's very, very anemic at the moment. I'm like 4,000 followers. Go to my YouTube. It's Manda Murhead. That's a whole other story. But Manda Murhead on TikTok, I'm Ms. Mandy May Cheatham. But if you search Mandy Mayhem, there's a few different ones. One is a man. That's not me. There's one that's me. That one's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. And of course, everybody, you can follow me at Ms. Radio Sapphire. That's MSRADIOSAPPHIRE.com. Instagram. I'm slowly coming back to y'all. But yes, it's Ms. Radio Sapphire on Instagram. Sapphire is your play on Instagram. And there's going to be some more eargasms, more visualgasms coming in the new year. But Mandy, we're going to stay in touch. You're a certified earbud. You're invited to our cookout. Like I said, I don't cook. This man's cooks. Actually, all my partners cook. They're great cooks.
Dope.
They're amazing. Chef's kiss. But I know I'm seeing some big things coming your way, and I'm just like so
big
honored.
Dicks.
Yes. Big dick, big clit energy, everything.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Dope.
It's coming.
Thank you.
So with that said, safe sex is the best hot sex. Till next time. Good night.
That was the show, all you sexy motherfuckers out there. Remember to follow at Ms. Radio Sapphire and Sapphire's Earplay on Instagram. Want some eargasms of the past and future? Make sure to follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all streaming platforms.